we have been using as our inspiration for this journey through the season of Advent, the 4 weeks leading up to Christmas, a poem that was found scrawled on a cellar wall after World War II, believed to be written by a Jew living in the Cologne concentration camp. And the poem goes like this: I believe in the sun, even when it's not shining. I believe in love, even when I don't feel it. And I believe in God, even when he is silent. Now, granted, the context and the situation that we find ourselves in today is vastly different than what it was back then. But yet the power of hope in the face of despair, of peace in the face of conflict, of joy in the face of sorrow, of love in the face of hate, is a vision that we so desperately need in these times. Speaking of these times, I don't know about you, but I am running out of adjectives to describe the situation that we're living through right now. We say things like, it's challenging, it's extraordinary, it's unprecedented, it's uncertain, it's unimaginable. If you would have told me back in March when we first went into this time that we would still be worshiping this way, that we would be watching Christmas Eve service instead of sitting here ribcage to ribcage, I would have thought you're crazy. In our family, we joke that my daughter Abby is a bit of a Christmas Carol snob. She only likes the classics. And so when she's in charge of the playlist, there's none of that new stuff. It's all Ella Fitzgerald and Nat King Cole, Frank Sinatra, Bing Crosby. She's an old soul in a teenager's body. The other day, one of the carols that came on was Perry Como's I'll Be Home for Christmas. And I have to be honest with you that I heard it in a new way in light of our current situation. Many of us are home for Christmas, even if we don't want to be. Many of us are missing being with family. Others have lost a loved one in the last several months. And all of us, I dare say, wish that we could be here, singing carols, lighting candles, hugging friends. I'll be stuck at home for Christmas, is how I heard it, even if I don't want to be. And maybe that's okay. Maybe not traveling for Christmas this time of year, maybe it's better. Traveling is hard this time of year. At least that's what I tell myself. Several years ago, when my twins were just a few months old, we decided to fly on Christmas Day from Atlanta, where I was serving a church, out to see their grandparents in Northern California. We decided to take the first flight in hopes that we would be able to be there in time for Christmas dinner. And I was running on fumes, having done several Christmas Eve services the night before. And let's just say it didn't go well. Jake and Ella seemed to start crying and screaming and were restless and fidgety from the time that we were taking off. No matter what, I couldn't get them to quiet. I was frantic. And I was pretty sure that at least one point, one of the flight attendants was going to suggest that I take the children outside to play, which when you're on an airplane is not exactly good news. I was starting to wonder in that moment why I even brought the kids. Heck, in that moment, I was starting to wonder why I even had kids. I had to think to myself that Mary and Joseph, they didn't have this much trouble on their journey. While the kids were screaming, this nice middle-aged couple came back and said to me, are these your two kids? And I smiled and I nodded. And he simply looked at me and he said, my wife and I would give anything to have two kids. I said, oh, do you not have children? He said, no. We have five children. We would give anything to have two children. I'll be home for Christmas. But what if that's where the hurt is? What if we don't still know where home is? Some of us know, some of us desperately long to figure that out. But tonight, all of us, the most basic truth on this night is that all of us need a place that is filled with acceptance and with love. I've always wondered why, if Joseph was from Bethlehem, why it was that his family didn't take them in that night. Why couldn't they take him in? Fortunately, as luck would have it, though, they found a barn and some soft hay, a feeding trough. And on that first night, that young couple found a home in the simplicity of the stable. And they wrapped their newborn child in nothing but a few scraps of cloth. We don't know. We don't know what the next few months will hold from us. But the story we just heard, one that we've heard 100 times, but yet sounds different tonight, describes a moment in time when the effects of what has happened were not yet known. But the angels, the messengers, they know. Mary and Joseph, they know. Even the shepherds came to believe. But the world does not yet know. Just as we don't know how we're going to recover from these last several months. But tonight we sing anyway. It was Christmas Eve in 1914 in the midst of World War I. The war was in full force. Over 1 million lives had been lost. And there on the Western Front, men were sitting in foxholes, shivering from the cold. And around 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock that night, on the German side, suddenly there was some commotion. There was some singing. And the German soldiers started singing, Stille Nacht, Heilige Nacht. Some on the English side join in the singing, Silent Night, Holy Night. And slowly the soldiers began to emerge from their foxholes. No guns, no weapons. It was Christmas. And so over the next several hours, the men from both sides, they laughed and they joked. They exchanged cigarettes and souvenirs. They played football and they sang Christmas carols. In the days and weeks to follow, the war would rage on. Millions more would die. But for that night, all was calm. All was bright. Tonight in your homes, all is calm and all is bright. Because wherever you are tonight, that is your Bethlehem. That is the place that you bring your hopes and your fears from all the years. And you lay them down in front of the manger. I have a friend who's a Presbyterian minister. I spoke with him not too long ago. I asked him how his Advent was going. There was a pause, and finally he said, Advent for him was over. Christmas came early. He said, Christmas for our family came back in February when our 16-year-old daughter decided that she'd had enough and allowed us to help her. She's been sober and off drugs now for 10 months. Christmas came early in our house. You see, tonight, just like that first night, like that young couple seeking shelter, tonight you have found a home in the simplicity of the stable. On that first night, the wait ended. Hearts were filled. Hearts were filled with the riches of peace and joy, with hope and love. In this very same way, that tonight the place where you are is holy, sacred. It's filled with our best wishes, our deepest longings for ourselves, for others, for all the world. Tonight, the place where you are is filled with the richest ideas of what our lives will be like once God is reborn within them. It was Emmanuel, God with us, in the form of a child. Not like anyone expected or even wished, but an answer to prayers nonetheless. It was God who had come down to us. Not a God up there who answers our prayers by taking us out of our lives, but instead enters in, makes home in the midst of our mess. So tonight, all is calm. All is bright. And tonight we believe. Tonight we believe even now, in the midst of these challenging, unprecedented, indescribable times. And so we pray that the grace of the life of this baby will heal our broken world. That the songs of the shepherds will rise above the clash of the cash registers. That the chatter of the angels will drown out any hate. And that this Christ child, the Lord of our lives, will cause us to live and to love in the way that God invites and created us to live and to love. With deep compassion, with endless hope, and with unbounding joy. Amen.